He said, I promise I'll preach just as fast as you'll listen. Now, I thought that was a pretty good one. I'm thankful tonight. I'm thankful for being here. I'm thankful for a church family just like y'all are. She said this morning when BJ gave her a chance to speak, said that we was like family, treated her like family, right? I'm thankful for that. I'm telling you, and I tell people all the time, you just don't know. I get the opportunity to be able to go to different churches, and you just don't know how good it is to be able to come to a place and have so many like-minded individuals. You know what I mean? And by like-minded, I mean just people that are here to worship God. People that are here not on no personal agenda, not on nobody else, just here because the presence of the Holy Spirit's here. I'm thankful for a pastor that's like we talked about this morning, that's going to stand on what this says, you know. Thankful for a church family that'll back him up on what this says. It's not because BJ, it's because of Jesus. You know what I mean? And I'm just thankful for that. I don't even know why I got off on that. I'm just here lately. I haven't even been able to ask God for anything. I'm just thankful. You know what I mean? I'm just thankful. Maybe y'all don't know what I mean, but I know what I mean. But if you will, tonight, I will be brief, if God will allow it. And if you will, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 59. I'm going to read a couple of verses here and then just expound on God's word and what he gave me. He gave me this message some time ago. Actually, back in January, I preached this message at a different church. I've been eager to preach it here, and he just hasn't allowed it. And BJ called me and said, we had a conversation over here last week, and he said, hey, man, I've got some dates coming up, and I might need you. And I said, well, you got me. All you got to do is say when, and I'll be here. And then he calls whatever night he called this week. I don't remember. And I knew when I seen the phone ringing, I knew what he wanted. And I picked it up, and he says, I need you to preach. Going Monday, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm there, you know. And anyways, it's just, I'm thankful for being able to share God's word. And but this message come about from a TikTok, believe it or not. I seen this, and I don't know, it just really worked on me. It just really worked on me. And as soon as what I was saying a minute ago got sidetracked there, but as soon as I seen that BJ had called me or that he had asked, I knew what message God is, just a confirmation. You know what I mean? Brother Austin said something this morning up here, said that your sin might be your sign, right? It was confirmation. It was big time confirmation for me. And I appreciate that. Appreciate you sharing that. But Isaiah chapter number 59, if you will stand for the reading of God's word, verse number 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, praise God, that it cannot hear, thank you, Jesus, but your iniquities, your sins, your iniquities have separated you, have separated between you and your God. And God is capitalized here, is talking about our God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you, Father God, for this opportunity to be in your house. I thank you, Father God, for allowing me to be up here. Thank you, Father God, for each and every soul that's represented here tonight. I'm asking you, God, right now in the name of Jesus, you just start a work in every one of our lives. I pray, Father, you just purge this world and we just cast Satan far out of this place. He has no place on God's property, and he has no place with God's people. And I'm asking you right now, Father God, you pour out a double portion of your Holy Spirit. Just bring your Holy Ghost down in this place and just work through all of us, Father God. I pray you just lift each and every person here up. You start working on hearts and minds and just do what you will in this place, Father. Pray you put me far in the shadows of the cross and just take complete control of my mind and my thoughts and my lips, Father. Let not I be seen, but you be glorified, Father God. Lord, I love you. I thank you, and I thank you for all these things. Oh, and I ask you, Father, that you just be with BJ and his travels, be with Brent and them as they're at the hospital. And Lord, I pray you just start doing work in all of our lives, Lord. Lord, I love you and I thank you. I ask you to forgive us where we failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. There once was a man traveling down life's highway. He had taken a wrong turn and found himself lost. His GPS not working. Couldn't get signal on his phone. There was no houses or traffic around. He was running low on gas, and it was starting to get dark. When he came up to a huge intersection, a four-way, and then one road seemed just hardly used, and then another one was beat down. You bring my water? Or Caden, bring my water, please. But another one was beat down and had a sign there saying, a big pretty sign saying yard sale. Who don't like a good yard sale, right? Thinking there would be people at this yard sale so he could ask for directions, the man took the path that was heavily traveled. The worn-out gravel road. As soon as he turned off the road, he soon realized that this road was much rougher than it looked when he started from the first appearance. There really wasn't a good place for him to turn around. So he decided he would just go on and ride it out and continue on down the worn-out path. He started to notice the signs saying yard sale were getting uglier and dimmer and started seeing cars that had broke down along the side of the road. And didn't seem the broke down on the side of the road and hadn't made it all the way. All of a sudden, the road ended in a forest and had a beaten pathway leading into the woods. And an old sign hanging on a tree that said, "Enter here." A little skeptical, but he still took off and went down the dark path that where the path was. Going down the path, and it led him to a dark set of gates where the yard sale was set up. There were TVs with sports playing. There was magazines, adult magazines, alcohol, drugs, stacks of money, just all sorts of just real incredible things for a really, really incredibly cheap price. Then he noticed sitting off to the side, laying on a table by itself, it was an old, beat down, worn out wedge. Much like this one, if it'll come out from behind my back. I can only find a wood one. But a wedge, just like this one. He looked at the price tag and realized that it was really, really expensive. Really expensive. Well, as he's looking at this wedge, a man approached him and asked if he could help him with anything. As he looked at the old tool, the slick guy walked up and said, he asked, "Why is this wedge so expensive? It's the most worn out thing here." And he said, the salesman said with a smile, he said, "Well, you see, that's my most prized possession. That's my best tool. The most valuable tool I have. You see, I can take that wedge on this skinny end here and put it in cracks where nothing else will fit. And as I put it in these cracks and I start tapping on it, and it's in places where no other tool will reach, and I start hitting it, and it creates a gap or a separation. And the harder I hit and the further it goes, the more the separation is, the more the gap it makes. And the man is very interested and very in tune. And then the salesman says, "Oh, by the way, I want to introduce myself. I'm Satan." And he said, "Welcome to hell." That wedge that Satan uses, that he can put in these small little cracks in our lives, is the most valuable tool, because it's one thing that we don't never really just notice. You can notice this iPad. You can notice TikTok. You can notice a cell phone. You can see TVs. You can realize that you're watching too much of this and you're watching too much of that. You can realize that you're doing this or you're doing that. But this wedge right here will fit in that smallest little crack. That pet sin, if you will, that you keep in your back pocket. That one little thing that you're not so sure about, that maybe nobody else knows. Maybe your wife or husband don't know. Maybe your best friend don't know. Your mama, your daddy don't know. That wedge, when he sticks it into that crack and he starts tapping on it every time you pull that pet sin out to tap, to play with it, as he taps on that wedge, he makes that crack bigger. And that crack and that separation is between you and God. Verse 2 says that in Isaiah 59, verse 2 says that our sins, our iniquities, have hidden God's face from us. Do you understand? It took me a minute to just feel this. But have you ever been so ashamed of somebody that you hid your face from them? Think about it now. You go walking through Walmart, you see somebody you don't want to see, and you're over here going, "I don't talk to them." Maybe they owe you money, or maybe you owe them money. Maybe whatever it might be, but there's something that's keeping you from wanting to see this person. The God that we serve sees our sin, and it hides his face from us. And he uses that sin, which is the wedge that I'm referring to separate us from him. He uses these things, and we just keep pulling them out and keep doing them and keep doing them. And well, a little bit here and a little bit there. And what we don't realize is every time, even though it might be 6 months from now, it might be a year from now, it might be a 2 weeks from now, you may only do it once in a while. You only do it when you're mad or whatever it might be. That little sip of alcohol that you told God you wouldn't ever do, the things, whatever that might be, whatever it might be. Not even going to get into what all it could be. You know what I'm talking about this morning or this evening. Everybody here does. You know exactly what that part is. You know exactly what that sin is. You know exactly what that wedge is. And you know exactly how Satan is using that to drive and make that separation between you and God. It just absolutely fascinates me. I don't know why, but it fascinates me to watch people fail a tree or cut down a tree. You know, I was trying to be technical. But it just really fascinates me to see somebody take a tree that's so big and they'll take something so small. I couldn't find one like what they use. But you know, they usually have them all different sizes. But they'll have them, you know, Brother Boyd's holding his fingers up like this. They'll have a small one. They could have wide ones. But they'll take a tree and they'll cut in on it. You know what I mean? They'll cut in on it just a little piece and get them a gap started. And where that gap is, they'll stick a wedge here and they'll stick a wedge there. And they'll start hitting these wedges. And if they're good enough, they'll go over here and they'll hit this one on the right a little bit. They'll hit this one on the left a little bit. They'll put two or three in the middle. And they'll be able to put that tree wherever they want. And I'm telling y'all, it just blows my mind that even though a saw's helping, this little wedge can put that tree where they want it, as long as it's hit in the right spot at the right time and when it needs to be moved. Another thing that fascinates me is the fact that even back in old times, and even like people that don't have equipment, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I don't know exactly where these people were, but they take wedges, now steel wedges, and they'll get them in a gap in a rock, and they'll hit them, and they'll hit them. And these rocks are huge. They're huge. I mean, like, can't even, I'm 6'2", or I don't know, probably 4.5 right now, but I'm like 6 foot something if I was standing up or laying down, whichever way you want to measure it, okay? But I got a pretty good wingspan, okay? And what I'm telling you is that me and Brother Eric could hold hands, still can't reach around this rock. And they would take the dang, they would take a wedge, and they'll take 4 or 5 of them, they'll just put it down through there, and they'll split these rocks in two with nothing but a wedge and a hammer. And they'll hit this one, and then they'll hit this one, and then they'll hit this one, and then they'll go back up and hit them again. And it just blows my mind that this little bitty tool that starts out in such a small little gap can split something wide open and make such separation between one piece to another. It blows my mind that, and then when I seen this and when I heard this story, and I made the story up, but I heard a little thing that made me think of the story, whatever. But when I wrote the story, when God pressed this on my heart, I started really thinking about what it is that, and what we allow God to, or what we allow Satan to use to drive us away from God. And how even the littlest of sin is still causing separation. And how even the biggest of sin in our eyes is still the same as God, same to God. And he'll take that and you know, look, we're all imperfect individuals, okay? And we can use that excuse all we want, all right? And that's all it is we're imperfect, and we're going to keep saying, well, you know, I'm just a normal person, you know? The Lord didn't make me perfect. If I was perfect, then now y'all would want to hang me on a cross, right? Because I've heard that until I'm sick of hearing it. And what I'm telling you is that, yeah, we're imperfect, but that don't mean that we've got to just use that as a crutch. We don't have to just keep on and keep on using that as a crutch. When we've got our iniquities, and in Isaiah it says that it separates us. He hides his face from us. The sin is so shameful that he just turns away. And the thing is it don't matter if you've went out and you've killed somebody or if you've dog cussed somebody sitting out there on the road in the highway. It's the same thing. Every one of us is sitting here and we're the same people as the ones that's sitting in Marion County right now. It's the same thing. We just didn't get caught. And I say we because I feel like, and I think I've told y'all this before, but I feel like I'm just like Paul. I believe I took his place as a chief of sinners. I believe that. I think that I probably got more cracks than anybody in here. And I believe that's why God gave me this message, so he could step on me and whoop on me more than anybody else. And I also believe that that's the reason why I'm preaching it for the second time. But what I'm trying to tell you is that if we don't do something about it, if we don't do something about these cracks in our lives, if we don't do something about these sins that we hide away, even the ones that everybody knows about, if we don't do something about it, it's going to cause so much separation between us and God that devil's going to fell that tree wherever he wants it to lay. Wherever he wants it to lay, he's going to split that rock that looks impossible to do. All because of that little wedge that we allowed to get into a crack in our lives. If you will, turn with me to the 1 John. First John chapter number 1. And verse number 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we have deceived ourselves and the truth is not in us. You've deceived yourself. You've lied to yourself. If you're sitting there tonight, and thinking, boy, this message sure would be good for so-and-so. I wish they would have come. If you're sitting there tonight thinking, boy, I wish my husband or wife was here. Man, I wish they would have made it. You're deceiving yourself. There's a reason why this church ain't full. There's a reason why you're here and they're not. It's for us. It's for us. You was meant to be here. It's a divine appointment. Verse number 9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. We make Him a liar. Who's Him? Jesus. I found myself, the last time I preached this, I found myself sitting at my table and thinking about how I make Jesus a liar. So much. And I don't know why I want to tell you this, but I feel like it's needed. Do you know what faith is? Faith is the grain of a mustard seed. I know. But do you know how simple faith is? Faith is just believing. Just believing that Jesus told the truth. That's how simple it is. But we make Him a liar because we're too busy pointing elbows and talking about somebody else. And we're too busy worried about what she's doing or what he's doing. We're too busy worried about this one's sin and that one's sin. We're too busy worried about how we need to help this one and we need to get this one out of the gap. We got to go do this. Did you hear about so-and-so? We done forgot all about the wedge the devil's driving in us. We get so caught up in life. I get so caught up in life. I get so caught up in I need to do and I got to do and I need to make and I've got to go do this I got to do this. Come on. I get so caught up in it and I get so caught up in work and business and just whatever. And even my family, I get so caught up and I need to spend time with my kids and I need to do this. I get caught up in all of it. And I forget all about me making Him a liar. I forget all about how I just really need to stop, slow down just a hair, just a little bit. It don't take much, just a little bit. And just work on that wedge that keeps getting hammered into me. I've come a long way since 2011. I've come a long way. If you knew me then, anybody that knew me then, I believe would attest to that. They could tell you that my mouth has changed. My actions have changed. My want-to's changed. I don't want to sin no more. I do fail. I do. But it hurts me when I do. Tonight, what I'm asking you is, does it hurt you when you sin? Do you feel that wedge being drove in you? Tonight, what I'm asking you is, what's your wedge? I was going to bring, I really thought somebody would get on to me. I was going to bring a garbage can in here, and I was going to give everybody a piece of paper and have you write down what you thought your wedge was, and I was going to set it on fire. Have everybody come up here and throw it in the garbage and set it on fire. And if BJ would allow it, we might do that when we do the campfire. Because tonight should be a turning point. If you're hearing my voice, if you're hearing this message, tonight should be a turning point, at least for a little while. What's your wedge? What's the devil driving between you and God? What separation do you have? How big's the separation? Let's mend it today. Let's do something about it tonight. Let's not leave here the same as we came in. Let's not grace those doors going out that way. Let's not go back into the world being the same person as you was when you came in here. Let's do something about it. Let's stop talking about it and be about it. What's your wedge? And the last question I want to ask you, Sister Denise, if you don't care to come, I have a song for invitation, but I want to ask you one more question. Have you made God a liar? Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Tonight, I'm asking you to do a self-evaluation, to stop and just think about what you've got going on. Think about your life. I don't want you to think about nobody else, but just think about you. A self-evaluation, and ask yourself, what's your wedge? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you.